You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yoela Rhodesy, otherwise known as Nikki, is a queer who has been living in her home in Glen Innes, Auckland since 1985. She is a member of the Tāmaki Housing Group who have been fighting against gentrification in that community over the past 6 years. They formed in resistance to the eviction of families living in state homes. The ownership of those homes had been transferred from the government to a private entity that is wishing to develop the homes and sell them in the private market. Nikki received an eviction notice towards the end of last year. On the 18th of January, that notice was up. On the 17th of January, there was a march along her street to establish the beginning of Nikki's occupation.
When housing rights are under attack,
stand up, fight back!
When Nikki's rights are under attack,
stand up, fight back!
Stand up,
fight back!
When the march arrived, Nikki, who cannot leave her home, met and spoke to the supporters.
Thank you everybody for coming today, because I tell you what, this government doesn't believe that we've got a problem. Because we do have a problem, and it shows that they don't believe in what we believe in. They believe in greed.
Nikki and others intend to stay at her home on Taniwha Street until the eviction notice has been rescinded.
This is only the beginning. We will be staying here until they withdraw her eviction notice. We will be staying here, and we want as many people as possible to join us.
If you're not doing anything, you know, drop by. Just drop by and say hello.
This is some of her story.
Can I ask where you grew up?
I actually grew up in the area. When my dad came to New Zealand, he chose to be a train examiner because he loved trains. So that's what he was for over 30 years. He was on the railways. Well, my mum had been married before, but her husband had passed away. So from that, she had two sons. And there's no such thing as step sister, step brother. You need your blood, and that's it. It doesn't matter which side of the family, your blood. No mistaking that. Most of my sisters are very good. They toe the line. They don't deviate from anything. You know, they know what they're going to do, and that's it. They don't change. They just follow everybody else. I wish I was like that, but I'm not. I can't follow. Especially when I think things are wrong, I can't just pretend it's not happening.
When you say you don't follow, do you lead?
No, I don't. I don't like leading. I'd rather be a team. You know, somebody else leads. It's not important to me who leads it, as long as it gets out there. I'm quite content to sit back and just help any way I can.
I'm nobody special. I'm just a person, an ordinary person that looks at this whole situation that we're in. Everybody needs a home. There should be no, you stay in this area, we stay in this area. Everybody should live together. I know that's a romanticized version of looking at it, but that worked before. The only reason I don't see it working now is because people have become more greedy. They're taking advantage of the whole situation. The government is basically, I know you get sick and tired of hearing this, but
What is that situation that you're talking about?
These are the people's assets. These homes, they belong to the people. And what the government has actually done is the government has given away our homes to the developers to develop. And people think that these homes that the developers are developing are for us, but they're not.
Who's sending the eviction notices?
Tamaki Redevelopment Company.
Let's talk about the relationship between TRC and the government. Because the TRC is a sort of more recent development, isn't it?
Yes, well, Panuku is actually a council, and the government owns the rest.
But essentially that happened when the government began to sell state housing in terms of privatising the asset.
Yes, but it's not straightforward like that.
Right.
They didn't actually sell the houses. They transferred ownership to the Tamaki Redevelopment Company. There was no exchange of money. They transferred 2,800 homes, and there was only 2,700 homes. So 100 homes have gone missing. They can't account for it. Nobody knows where it's gone.
Shit.
Yeah. People should be angry. The government has sold the, not actually monetary, but has given the our assets away to be developed.
So they essentially have, though, transferred the ownership of your home and others to a private company.
Kind of.
Okay.
I know it's complex because in this area, there's certain areas that are divided into different sectors for different groups. Like we have the Catholics, okay, and then we've got the Samoans, and then we've got the Rarotongans, and we've got, you know, all these different iwis. Each area they're vying for. They want it. We can't really tell who owns it. This is meant to be social housing to the fullest, but they are creating slums in our area. People say, oh, don't say that. But they are. Because they are, here's the elderly people here, then we've got the young people, and then we've got all the others. And what I mean by all the others, these are the ones that are protected. On one hand, they're saying that everybody should have a home, and on the other hand, they're saying something else.
So that process of gentrification, that's seen those different community groups even further divided?
Yes, because you have the people that were your friends trying to get a better deal. So they'll sell you down the line and think that they can get a better deal. But nobody gets a better deal. So they sell your friendship down the line for what? For nothing. They want a decent home. They want to stay in the area. So they work with Tamaki Redevelopment Company and the Tamaki Housing Association to kind of fill them in on information. They used to have Dob a Neighbour, and how that worked was if you saw something and you know it's wrong, you'd ring up Housing New Zealand and they get people fighting against each other. And I tell them, you know, what'd you do that for?
because they'll get found out. There's no secrets here. I was angry the other day because one of the media people came to see me. She did an interview for me last week, with me, sorry, and they had wrote a damning article on me, you know, and I was quite upset because I knew it wasn't her that did that, it was her boss. He has a short fuse where beneficiaries are concerned. But I said to him, look, some of us have to be on the benefit, otherwise we just will not survive. I said, we have to get medication, we have to make sure that we go to our appointments, etc., etc. And I said, if you're not well, then you're not well. You can't do it. But I says, I've paid a lot of taxes in my youth. And I says, so I'm not a bludger. I've got a brain. I can't do much. I'm not a bludger. I'm not that type of person. I don't even know anybody within my group that is a bludger.
It's easy enough for the media to put that out there to sort of maintain a...
You see, the problem with these people is we know when we're winning, they start putting... But this is the first time that they've really gone over the top. And they've really gone over the top and done the dirty because they're panicking. I'm not panicking, I'm just being really calm because I know that it's the calm before the storm because they think I've only got 4 or 5 people that are supporting me. I think they were shocked. They would have been here on Tuesday night and somebody quoted that there was only 100 people. But I don't think they realised there were 2 marches. We did that for our own protection, really, because usually they'll try and stop us. But we were trying to stretch their resources and, you know, try a new strategy. Because we've always advertised the fact that we're marching. And every time that we've advertised the fact, they've been there to meet us, or they've been there to watch us and try and stop us. But I think this time around, all our young have really stepped up to the plate because the story's nearing its ending. And everybody's doing their bit to generate a lot of support. We need people power. You would think that these people would be here because this is the blueprint of Auckland Region. This is what your area is going to look like. This is not a good place to be at the moment.
What does it look like?
It looks like land banking galore. People are making money by just holding on to the land and not even releasing it to build houses for people that need it. They've demolished houses that could have housed people that are in cars, families that are in cars.
There are empty sections everywhere.
There are empty houses too. Because what they've done is we are no longer state tenants. We are rental tenants. So how that works is they're going to transfer. The name of the game is get rid of your tenants. You know, that's the name of the game. Give it to somebody. Do you know how much money these people have wasted trying to set up these social housing people? Millions and millions of dollars they've wasted that they could have used to house people. They try and shut me down, but if I can't talk, then somebody else will get up and talk. Because that's what it's all about, sharing information. You have to get out there and do something. You can't just stay at home and pretend that nothing's happening.
Where do the tenants go? Where are they supposed to go?
Once you sign that new contract, you sign that you will have, when you sign that place, you'll only have it for 1 to 3 years and then move. I told them right from the start that I did not want to be transient tenant. I did not want to keep moving and moving. A lot of our people have died in our area because when they got the shock of knowing that they had to move from their community, from their supporters. A lot of our elderly people, they don't have families, through no fault of their own, you know, some have died and some are overseas. They know us and we know them and we try and help them the best way we can.
What actually happens when somebody receives an eviction notice?
Okay, this is my second eviction notice. The first time I had a partial win, so they withdrew it. I had to go to court. But it hasn't always been chocolate and roses. It really hasn't, because a lot of people have suffered, you know. They've suffered a lot because of the isolation. We went looking for our elderly people because a lot had disappeared from Glen Innes. And we went to ask the hard question. Where is this person? The last time we knew was this person was going to hospital. And then we went to hospital to go and visit this person. And they said there's no such person here. So they had actually put this person away in a home somewhere and wasn't willing to tell anybody where. Because we knew that, because when we went into the on the property and had a good look around, they had thrown all their belongings in the lounge. All in a big pile like they were animals. That's not good. That's not good at all. Because they treat us all like animals. There's no niceties there.
Thank you for sharing that. Shall we talk about your house?
My house?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stop going around the outside. Okay.
How long have you been in this house?
22 years. I actually came home to look after my mum.
So she was in this house first?
Yes. My mother was here. She had a stroke. And I came home to look after her. My sister is deaf-mute. And she it would have been difficult for her. But my brothers were married. So it would have been difficult for them. My other sister's in Australia. And my other sister is somewhere, having a good time. Yeah, she deserves it. Because she actually said to me that she wanted to go and have a life, you know.
because she looked after my mum for a while.
I think this is the only home being occupied at the moment.
Yeah. Funny that. Yeah, it bothers me sometimes because I think that if we had a bit more people, then we'd be hard to pin down. What I mean by that is that because it's only me, they're throwing everything at me, and you know, it's rebounding. Some of it's hitting the target, but some of it's rebounding.
Have they offered you other houses?
Yes, everybody asks that question. Why would I move out of this one to something that is not up to par? Not up to par at all. I mean, they offered me a place that was reclaimed swampland, and when we went to have a look at it, it was flooded. Water was coming out of the garage, and then they offered me another one with stairs. And I can't get upstairs.
Why is that?
Because, you know, I've got arthritis in my knees and my legs, and it's very, very hard for me to get upstairs. I mean, my legs at the moment, both of them are swollen. It's just a part of life, isn't it? And, you know, sometimes I have bad respiratory problems, and of course my heart, you know, everything just adds on and makes it really worse.
Have you had problems with your heart before?
Yeah, I've had heart problems for a long time.
I suppose the other side of that is, why would you leave your home for a place that's not your home?
Well, they're saying to me that these houses are, you know, nice and warm, and they're not old, cold and mouldy. My house is not old, cold and mouldy. And that's another thing. What a laugh. They give everybody a heater and nobody can afford to heat the place up. I mean, really? God.
This started happening in 2011?
Yes.
And there's been eviction since then?
Yes. The evictions have been quite interesting. If they can't get people out, they create things. Oh, P-Lab. Oh, this and that. But, or your place is asbestos, I'm afraid you'll have to move. We've got to move you somewhere else, because we can't have you getting sick on us. Or you've got lead, there's lead in the paint. And we'll do this house up for you. You can come back when it's all done up. And these people, they're so trusting, they move out. And then they say, well, when am I coming back? You're not coming back. You're staying there. Because we've decided we're going to demolish it. You know, they have their different ways of getting people out. They don't care how they do it, as long as people are out.
So they're demolishing the houses, and then what happens?
And then the place will sit. The land will sit.
Do they rebuild?
Yeah. After they get a bit of money.
And sell it to who?
Sell it to anybody that wants to buy it. These homes were meant to be for tenants. But no, they're selling it. They're on selling it.
So we're at the point of your second eviction notice. And the 90 days ran out last week?
That's correct, on the 18th.
What happened on the 18th?
A couple of days before, they tried to take my meter box away.
And so on Tuesday, the day before the eviction notice ran out, there was a march?
Yes, and they came, the electrical people, Victor, came to turn my power off.
That day?
I said, what are you doing? You think this is funny? It's not funny, because they play these little wee games with elderly people, you know, but then they start harassing them by
doing little wee stupid things just to make them angry, you know, make their blood pressure go up, make them have a heart attack, make them faint.
Your occupation started on Tuesday.
That's right.
And you've been, well, there's been people here, living here with you.
Yes, that's right.
Ever since. And they will stay?
Yes, some will stay. We don't need people being arrested. Because if they're arrested, then that means we're short. But I'm like a prisoner in my own home. Yeah. I'll just keep going. I don't want people to get hurt. It's not my idea of fun.
At the end of it all, this is an occupation. It's Nikki's occupation. It's for your home. Is it part of a bigger picture?
I haven't quite worked that out yet. I really haven't thought that far ahead. I'm going day by day. We are not looking at it to end. We are just going through the motions at the moment. And, well, you know what kind of country we live in. We're milk and honey.
Are we?
You know, everything's...
I think that's what they say.
Mm.
I don't know if we're supposed to believe that.
A lot of people in my days did.
Mm.
You know, the land of plenty. But it's not. Because some people are missing out. And some people... they have so much that one day they're going to regret that, because the ones that don't have any will retaliate, and that would be really sad.
Nikki, if you win this battle, what will that mean for other state housing tenants?
That it's a win for them.
What would happen to Aotearoa if state housing disappeared?
Well, then we'd have a different generation, wouldn't we? We'd have a lot of homelessness. I'd hate to think what would happen to New Zealand, because at the moment the gap's getting wider. And those people that haven't got anything, they will start bothering people, won't they? I don't see why. This used to be a welfare state. I think they should step back and bring it, reintroduce it.
How can we get more of the community to sort of get on this train?
The only way the community is going to get on this train is if it affects them. People, they say to me, oh, good on you. Good on me. You can't do this alone. In order to survive, everybody has to do this.
Are you doing this for everybody?
Am I doing this for everybody? Yeah, I am. If I get in, then you get in. And everybody else. I said, you've got to be prepared to come on the front line and stop it with all of us, you know? Not just by yourself. We can't do it. It doesn't go that well. We've marched up and down Taniwha Street, up and down Queen Street. We've gone on everybody else's march to support them and everything. And they've come and supported us. We've gone to just about every tucky that we could think of to garner support. Have you ever seen anything so hypocritical? Like this government, I really mourn yesterday, because today's not really happening. And I think it's just going to slowly get worse.
The fight goes on?
Yeah, the fight goes on. But I don't know. I honestly don't know what will happen when I go to court. I don't see any reason at all why we have to move. I don't see any reason why they made that promise that to the group, you know, to the tenants, that if you don't want to move, you don't have to. Well, they broke that one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.